You're listening to the Circularity Capital podcast, where we explore the trends that are enabling the transition to a circular economy. You'll hear from Circularity Capital partners, company executives, and other experts as we investigate how we can leverage capital and insight to support growth and innovation in the circular economy. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. As we know, one of the core capabilities of a functioning circular economy, particularly from a technical nutrients perspective, is the ability to get things back. On today's episode, we're going to be looking into opportunities created by the reverse loop of the economy. We'll hear from Hamdi El-Iraki at DHL Supply Chain, Andrew Shannon from Circularity Capital, and Al Gerry of Zigzag Global to learn more about the intersection of reverse logistics and the circular economy, and why we as investors see this as a compelling sector in which to operate. DP DHL is the world's largest logistics company, operating in 220 countries and employing over 500,000 people worldwide. DHL Supply Chain is DHL's contract logistics division. To contextualize our discussion of reverse logistics in the circular economy with an industry perspective, we spoke with DHL Supply Chain Global Operations Strategy Program Manager, Hamdi El-Iraki. Hamdi has served as the Global Circular Economy Project Manager for DHL Supply Chain, as well as in the Project Management Office of Global Go Green, DHL's initiative to reduce logistics-related emissions. Here's what we learned. So great, Hamdi, great to be reconnected and really excited to be talking to you about this important topic around reverse logistics and the circular economy, kind of how we get things back, which is obviously a critical component of the circular economy. And the first thing I really wanted to ask you is you're involved in DHL Supply Chain. Mm-hmm. What type of work do you do for them? Can you explain a bit more about your role and what you're doing in DHL?
Yeah, sure, Jamie. First of all, thanks for having me. I'm really good and excited to be sharing more with you and the audience today. So I'm part of DHL Supply Chain, which I guess is one of the divisions for Deutsche Post DHL, which is the one specialized in contract logistics, whether that is in warehousing transport. My work with them is in the global operations strategy team. I work there as a program manager. In the past 2 years, I've been working as well as a circular economy specialist, working on producing pilots of circular economy products that we can pilot with our customer and get to offer them to more and more customers.
Fantastic. Thanks very much, Hamdi. And can you tell me a bit more broadly? So we met a couple of years ago at one of the Ellen MacArthur Foundation Circular Economy 100 events when DHL was involved in looking at the circular economy and how this can be used as a framework for identifying lost value in the economy and creating new opportunities. Can you tell me a bit more about the kind of background to why does DHL find the circular economy of interest? What's the strategic significance to DHL of the circular economy, would you say?
First of all, the circular economy topic is part of our ongoing strategy and ongoing focus as the company, as part of the wider Go Green team. So that's a team that's been around for 10 years. Really, our aim and the main goal is to be zero carbon emission company by 2050, which we have a lot of interim goals in between. Part of that was looking into circular economy as well as an investment opportunity as circular economy. We've seen engaging with some of the organizations, as you mentioned, with Ellen MacArthur Foundation and other partners, as well as our customers. We realized there is a lot of value lost in the supply chain. And our company, or DHL Supply Chain, is really the link that can help salvage this value. So back when we met, we were having internal talks and discussion with our customers into what's the need of different circular economy products? What capabilities do they need? And nowadays, we've set up several circular economy products, whether that is return logistics, or we provide also for some customer return, refurbish, and resell, for example, in the IT landscape. So that's really the context. I think circular economy in general is quite a trend within all our customers, and we had to be the logistics company that can cater to that. So that's where our focus was coming from.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that. And I guess we'll have a number of different audiences on this podcast, some of whom will be working within businesses, whether they be small, medium-sized enterprises or corporates. What are some of the opportunities and ways that companies can adopt circular economy activities and also, for example, move towards net zero carbon emissions in reducing the kind of footprint of their transportation and reverse logistics?
So I think that's a very valid question. I think circular economy, the good thing about it is that it's quite a wide spectrum. So there's a lot of things and a lot of products that can be within the circular economy sort of framework. Some of the ways that we've seen is really we can make use of our products much more. So if we look into any of our products, whether that's packaging material, retail products, or even high-value tech devices, the model so far was really to make, we use, and then we sell, and that's the end of it. And now there's more and more customers and companies can make value out of this product. So that can manifest in different ways. So companies can reuse, resell their products in a second market, whether that is in a different country where this product still has a bigger value or within the same country as well. What we have also done and we've seen as a way that we can do circular economy is cannibalizing the product. So really reusing and cannibalizing the components instead of one product to create new ones. And that obviously that leads to a lower manufacturing cost, lower logistics cost. So for example, if you've got a tablet and then you repurpose that into a smart home device with a screen. Right. So that's one of the ways that can happen. Another way that we're exploring and have seen around as well was on the packaging materials. So there's a lot of talk now and a lot of need for our communities to find a better way to reuse and recycle packaging material, especially if it's plastic or so on. And that brings a big impact into our world environment. So what are the different ways that we can actually reuse the packaging material or recycle the packaging material and move that in a return manner similar to how we do with products?
Okay, fantastic. That makes sense. And I guess going one step further on that journey, specifically looking at online retail, so the kind of global economy is going through a transition at the moment towards more and more kind of online platform sales. What is that doing to retailers? And how are they responding to that? And do you think they're currently well placed, or do you think there's still a lot of work and kind of evolution to happen in that industry?
So I definitely think it started. Yeah, so let's say it this way. So I think the need from the consumers to have more online shops and having that agility, it started affecting the companies to a very big extent into adapting their ways, being able for the consumer, for example, to customize how they want their product, where do they want their product to be sourced from, even the packaging material, and looking at, do I want to receive my product with no packaging, low packaging, or recyclable packaging? So I think this kind of omni-channel logistics is definitely a huge trend. And that's currently what a lot of companies are working on. And definitely, I think we've started regarding that way, but there's definitely a lot of work still to be done into more and more products that can be created for our customers.
Fantastic. Hamdi, that was really interesting, really good insight, I think, from an industry perspective and from your work with DHL, and really exciting to hear some of the developments that are going on around your specific circular economy and global green initiatives. So thank you very much for your time, and look forward to speaking to you in due course at the next circular economy event.
All right, perfect. Looking forward to that as well. Thanks for having me.
That was Hamdi El-Iraki from DHL Supply Chain on logistics and opportunities to reduce environmental impact through supply chain management. To narrow our discussion a bit more and focus on why reverse logistics is such a compelling investment proposition, I'm joined here today by Circularity Capital partner Andrew Shannon, Head of Compliance and Origination. Andrew will be introducing us to Zigzag, a global returns management solution that helps retailers manage return stock for resale, refurbishment, or redistribution. Hi, Andrew. Welcome.
Thanks, Jamie. Good to be here.
So I guess my first question is, why are we talking about reverse logistics? What's the importance to businesses of reverse logistics, and what's the kind of context with regards to the circular economy?
Well, in a circular economy, you need to get your products, components, and materials back If you think about using a product for a second time, or a material for a second time, or a component for a second time, you massively increase the value of that component, product, or material. Hence why it's so important to get it back in an efficient manner.
Fantastic. And how significant is this within the context of today's economy? Kind of how big is the problem? And can you give me an example of a sector where this is particularly prevalent as an opportunity, I guess, for investors or for companies?
Yeah, so the reverse logistics space is a really interesting place for us to invest at the moment. You know, the reverse logistics is relevant across all sectors, both in the B2B and B2C space. But just to give you one example, in the fashion retail space, we're seeing return volumes increasing 10 to 20% a year. A UK fashion retailer recently stopped a Black Friday sales after it experienced 50 to 60% returns rate. So it's a very significant opportunity to capture value.
Fantastic. So obviously there's an economic problem here and an opportunity. Also, from an environmental perspective, could you touch a bit on what this means to businesses, I guess, and more broadly?
Sure. You know, 2.5 million tons of goods were landfilled in the US alone. Return items were landfilled without even being used. And if you put that into context, a pair of jeans takes north of 7,000 liters of water in the manufacturing process, and a t-shirt north of 2,000 liters. So it's a huge waste of value and a very significant environmental impact if we don't use the products, even for a single use.
And how do we actually approach this challenge? So it seems like an enormous issue and opportunity at the same time to businesses. What are the things that you think will shift this? Where are these opportunities coming from within the economy?
So we're seeing some data-enabled solutions providers come into the market, and that's a symptom of the increased availability and use of data that we have in the economy today, and the insight that this technology can provide for more efficient and effective logistics operations. For instance, we can determine the most efficient route back for a return good, or if there's a better location for it to be sent to. And if we're able to use the data to increase the turnaround time for returns and to get it to the next customer faster, that all represents a huge value opportunity for a retailer and clearly a very positive environmental impact.
And how much does the business model or design impact or enable this reverse loop?
Yeah, so in the inner loops of the circular economy, when you're selling products or services, it's fundamental to get the product back so you can use it again for another consumer cycle. And this is optimized if you are designing for circularity. You're designing the product and the materials to be used for multiple life cycles. So it's integral to a circular economy to have a very efficient reverse logistics loop.
So, Andrew, what I'm taking away from our discussion is that reverse logistics is an integral part of the circular economy in terms of being able to recapture lost value. And that in a number of sectors, this is a huge challenge, but also creates a great opportunity, both from a financial and environmental perspective. And there are a growing number of solutions that are emerging, partly driven by the availability of data and technology. But I guess at the same time, all of this is going to be enabled to an extent by further business model innovation and design within the circular economy.
I would agree, Jamie. That's exactly right. And it's a huge untapped opportunity for the economy.
Andrew sat down for a conversation with Al Gerry, CEO and founder of Zigzag Global, to explore more. Let's have a listen.
Hi, Al. Thanks for your time. Glad you've made the time available. I know you're busy expanding the team, embedding new members in. Maybe you could just give us a short overview of what the Zigzag solution is and how it works.
Sure. So I'm Al Gerry. I'm the founder and CEO of Zigzag. Zigzag is a returns solution that helps retailers and consumers return items both domestically and globally. We're a SaaS platform, so that means we plug into a retailer's website. We take a copy of the order the customer wants to return, and then we help bring that item back efficiently from anywhere around the world back to that retailer. Or we can even resell products in local market to buyers that buy the same thing.
Great. So there are a lot of different solutions out there for retailers. What gives Zigzag its USP?
Well, we tend to work with large retailers. We've got four types of client. We work with fashion retailers like Selfridges, Topshop, Gap, Superdry, and so on. We also work with marketplaces. like Newegg or Secret Sales and a few others. We're also working with carriers, and the carriers also white label our solution to their clients. So that's people like DHL or Skynet or various other international carriers. And we're also working with 3PLs. So 3PLs would be third-party logistics warehouses that are selling fulfillment to their customers, but there's inherently a need for return solution on the back of that. So our USP, if you like, is our ability to do that on a global scale. Most of the competitors in this space can do it maybe domestically. There's quite a few players in the US, for instance, but they don't have that global coverage and capability that Zigzag has. We're plugged into over 100 different carrier services, and we've got over 220 warehouses in 130 countries. So it's a truly global solution with a very strong domestic proposition as well. We're plugged into the likes of Shopify, Magento, Salesforce, Channel Advisor, Limworks, Brightpearl, and it means that you can integrate into the Zigzag platform in under an hour. So there's a very fast route to market, and that was previously not available. You'd have to go and build this yourself and do 100 different carrier integrations. You'd have to do 6 or 7 different platform integrations if you wanted to build this kind of solution.
Fantastic. So I think that's pretty clear that you guys are enabling transactions with the support of service providers such as the couriers and the 3PLs globally. But let's dive a bit deeper and talk about how you actually do it and who your customers are.
Yeah, so our customers tend to be the end consumer of the retailer, and that consumer is maybe bought 3 items from Topshop, but she might be in Australia, and Topshop is based in Milton Keynes. So we have to work out, first of all, what's the item that's coming back? We're taking a feed from Topshop to know that there were 3 items in the outbound order and there's only 1 item coming back. So we're working out which item's coming back, so we know who, what, where, when, and why. And then we also work out how the products are coming back. So we're working out whether they're coming back by post, by locker, by parcel shop, collection from home, or even return to store. So we're providing intelligent routing to work out what's the most cost-effective way to bring that product back, or should we even bring it back at all? Should we keep it in Australia and sell it to the next Australian buyer in that market?
Okay, so that generates a huge amount of data. Is there any other sort of useful intelligence that you can deliver for your clients?
Yeah, we've got a lot of data around who the consumer is and what's her behavior, what's his behavior. Is she a regular buyer? Is she a serial returner? Is she profitable? Is she a fraudulent customer? What's the most commonly returned item? How long products are spending off sale? What's the most frequently returned supplier? Are there products that should come off sale because they're frequently being damaged in transit or the products are defective? So we've got lots of really strong data around what's causing the returns and how to cut the cost of returns.
Yeah, so really adding operational efficiency to the customers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can you provide a scenario where Zigzag have dramatically impacted the retailer's operations?
Yeah, we've done a lot of work with Arcadia, so the Topshop group of companies, and we've managed to cut their customer service queries by 40% since implementing Zigzag. So there's a hidden saving, as well as just the saving that you would make on postage, that we can also make on the customer service team as a massive impact by reducing the inbound inquiries. We've also seen a reduction in cost by about 57% based on the cost that it would cost to return an item over the counter versus what you would pay through the Zigzag platform using our carriers. Usually the further afield, so places like the US and Australia back to the UK, tend to be very, very expensive to return from. If you were to walk into a post office and return a shirt, it would cost you $22 for an untracked parcel and $55 for a tracked parcel. We can bring that back for a fifth of the cost, and sometimes even a tenth of the cost if we're using economy services. But there's a lot of data that enables you to refund that customer earlier on in that journey.
If the solution depends so heavily on this network of local warehouses and couriers around the world, how were you able to scale Zigzag from the beginnings?
So one of the things that makes us different is we are asset light. We don't own any of the warehouses and we don't intend to. So we are working with networks of well-established 3PL partners like Wincanton or DHL or Skynet and so on, so that these products can go to a local warehouse. We've now got, as I say, a network of 220 in 130 countries. So how did I do that? I traveled a lot in the first few years of the company, and we visited the warehouses to broker the deals. And we're working with globally recognized partners who've got footprints outside of just one market. So they're in multiple countries. We've now got dozens and dozens of partners across the world that are the specialist and the incumbent within their market. So we'll be working with local post offices or local collection carriers that can offer different levels of service based on the value of the goods. So you may say low-value goods go in the post or high-value goods have a white glove service. And we can cater for fashion, for electrical, for homewares, pretty much anything except food.
Okay, so you offer a service for any product to any customer, essentially. It can be very bespoke.
Yeah, very bespoke, but the journey might be different every time. So it's really down to customer convenience. So you can choose whether you want the item collected and you may be willing to pay a bit extra for that. You may want to drop the item off at a post office or even at a 24-hour petrol station that's convenient for you. So you can choose whether you're wanting the free service or the paid service. And frequently around 20% of our customers are willing to pay for a return service. Even if a free service is available, they'd rather go for the convenience of not having to queue at a post office.
And how have consumer expectations and behaviour shaped the market?
I think the consumers become ever more demanding, and Amazon is setting the benchmark around returns and around the returns experience. So if you look at Amazon, they haven't put a label in a box for about 5 years now. And the reason for that is that they want to drive that customer back on site. They want that interaction at the point of the return to save the sale, to offer an exchange. So what Zigzag is doing is offering that Amazon experience to retailers of all sizes. And we do work with SMEs who maybe only have a few returns a week, right up to very, very large retailers who have millions and millions of returns a year. Consumers tend to prefer free, so they want a free return option, even if they don't choose it every time. They may at least want the option for a free return, and they want a faster refund. So what we're doing is providing better visibility for the retailer so that they can get consumers refunded much earlier on in the journey. So often same day or next day refunds as soon as the customers drop the item back into the postal system. Before Zigzag and before we came along, retailers were waiting 1 or 2 weeks, sometimes even longer, before they would refund their buyers. And we've massively been able to reduce that transit time and the wait time for that consumer so that they've got instant refunds and building up brand loyalty and trust for that retailer.
And I guess it ensures that the product is back on the shelf and out to a customer in the end. So it's always better than the product being lost in the logistics chain and not seeing a light of day.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Andrew. I mean, somebody like a large fashion retailer might have 30 or 40% return rate, which is not unusual. And in markets like Germany, return rates could be as high as 60 or even 70%. So what that means is if 70% is your refund rate, then 70% of your stock is potentially off sale at any one time because you know it's coming back to you. So anything we can do to reduce that wait time and get that back into the supply chain in less time is better for the retailer's bottom line.
Fantastic. Thanks, Al. So where do you see the space going? What do you think's next in logistics?
So I think the sustainability aspect of what we do is becoming ever more important. We have a number of retailers now wanting to be able to demonstrate that they're going paperless and that they're cutting down on waste, both paper waste but also product waste. So anything we can do to influence the decisions that retailers are making around landfill can only be a good thing, where we're actually getting stuff back in a more cost-effective manner so that they can resell it rather than landfill it. And I see the sustainable aspect key differentiator for Zigzag as a business, and we are leading in that respect. So I think over the next few months, we'll focus our efforts on paperless options and helping customers with exchanges.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the sustainability of the fashion industry has not been far from the front pages of the press.
Yeah, and even with retailers like ASOS changing their returns policy, that now becomes front page news, whereas a few years ago it may have gone unnoticed. So I think returns are part and parcel of doing business and buying online now. To coin a phrase that I first heard from a guy called Ian Stanford at USPS, the bedroom is the new fitting room. And I think that's exactly right. You know, people are buying online, they're trying at home, and if they don't like the item they bought, if they need to return it for size reasons or just their personal preference, they need a convenient method to do that. So I think that's what we bring to the market.
Well, Al, that's been incredibly insightful, and I think we've all come away with a better understanding of ZigZag and what you can offer to the market, and wish you the best of luck. And of course, we're here to support on that journey.
Thanks very much, Andrew. And yeah, look forward to speaking to you again soon.
That was my colleague, Andrew Shannon of Circularity Capital, and Al Gerry of ZigZag Global on Closing the Loop with Reverse Logistics. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. As always, you can find more information at circularitycapital.com or get in touch with us at info@circularitycapital.com. For more information on ZigZag, head to zigzag.global. Thanks for listening. See you next time.